My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
And a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. It is our typical weekly visit with Saints head coach Dennis Allen, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to the beach. But right now they are working on the way to Tampa, picking on the Buccaneers. So short week after the Monday night, so we're happy to have former Saints linebacker Scott Shanley with us tonight. We'll also talk a little bit about Tampa Bay, who, ironically, we're doing this coaches show, and Tampa Bay's in town because they arrived here to avoid Milton. So, God, our hearts and prayers go out to them. So, Scott, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, I'm doing good.
So, I want to begin because it's kind of – we're going to talk about Derek Carr, of course, but it's not really a situation that you really had to go through, right? So, from 2006 to 2012, when you were with the Saints, Drew Brees missed one game. And that was in the 09 season when they held him out of the final game of the season. It was just a given. But now in the NFL, you see what's happening to these quarterbacks so often. I think in 2021, the Saints had four different starting quarterbacks. Just overall, the it looks like multiple games, the loss of Carr and the impact.
Yeah, I mean, it's big. Anytime you lose a guy who's your starting guy and a guy who's played a lot of football like Derek, I mean, I think a lot of people looking at training camp were excited about that battle for the backup position. But you have two young guys who they may end up being great players and future stars in the NFL. You don't know, but you'd like to have them get a little bit more time on task, a little bit more mop-up duty in games, late in the games. And that really hasn't happened. So this injury to Derek probably happened earlier than anybody would ever want, because you have a lot of inexperience behind him, and you have two crucial games coming up in a week span, really could dictate the way your season goes. I mean, you can go from 2-0 to 2-5 in a hurry. So these two games coming up are crucial, and it's going to be upon the defense and the rest of the team, the running game, to rally around two young guys and put them in the best position to win, because you never want to lose your starting quarterback in this league. And you're right. During my time there, we were fortunate. I mean, number nine was as tough as they came. He played through a lot of injuries he could play through. So I'm not saying Derek can't play through this injury, but I think you probably ask guys like Bobby, they probably scratch their head because you see more quarterbacks injured now than ever, and you're not even allowed to touch these guys. So I don't know what's going on at the quarterback position, but you need two quarterbacks nowadays in the NFL.
Yeah, I think Derek even said it wasn't because of the hit. I mean, he just twisted. You know, you could hurt yourself without actually getting hit. You know, the torque and, I don't know, your oblique. Was that your love handle, Scott? I don't know. It's like, oh,
well, it is painful. I mean, any twisting, any range of motion where you're moving at the torso, which quarterback does a lot, it is painful. And, you know, listen, I give Derek credit. He talked about he didn't allude to it, or he alluded to it, but didn't say. He wanted to get shot up with some pain medication and continue to play, but they didn't have time to do that on the sideline. So I don't question Derek's toughness. He played through an injury last year as well, early in the season with a shoulder injury. So I'm sure if he could play, he would be out there.
You know, Scott, the way the game started out with the Chiefs, I remember 1991. I remember it was so loud. We were warming up. I said, man, I told Ricky Jackson, well, we better start out quick, or the crowd's going to be in the game, so we can't give them nothing to cheer for. And then we ultimately won that game because Arrowhead Stadium can be very loud. But I'm looking at, we were +3 in the turnover margin. The Chiefs were -4. They were still in the winning games. But then Carr throws the interception, and then we -1. But the question I have for you, because you played the linebacker position, why in the hell we can't cover the tight end? I mean, their first series to start the game, Kelsey's targeted 3 times. I mean, +4, +21, +6. And then even, Gray, another tight end, +15. They go 10 plays, 78 yards. We're losing 7-0. It goes back to last year. T.J. Hockenson, LaPorta. We all know what happened with Goddard and the Eagles. Why is it? Fans asked me. I said, I don't know. I never covered a tight end. I don't know. I'm going to ask a linebacker. So what's up with that, Scott? Why do we struggle to cover tight ends and they being so productive against our defenses who are normally outstanding in a number of other areas?
Yeah, I think I scratched my head a little bit with how much zone we probably played early in that game. And you know, Mahomes' feet probably scared them a little bit from playing tons of man. But still, you know, you look at the matchups, and I thought the Saints matched up really good in the man-to-man department. And people would say, what are you crazy? But you could double-team Kelce and make somebody else beat. I like Lattimore guarding most of their receivers. Worthy got some speed to go deep, but you can double-team him as well and just single up everybody else. So I was shocked at probably how much zone, because when you play zone, Kelce's going to pick you apart. I mean, he's the best I've probably seen in the history of the NFL, just finding the open spot in the zone, and Mahomes and him are on the same page. So I think a lot of yardage. And then, you know, you had an experience at linebacker, Orgy making his first start. And some of those zones and some of those concepts that Andy Reid runs can really confuse you on those underneath routes. So I think it was a combination of everything, but I would like to see this defense get back to playing a lot more man pressure because they have the skill set to do it.
You know, like you said, Anthony Orgy, he looked lost at times. And it might have been like, okay, I'm confused. I'm getting tricked. But the one thing, there was nothing tricky about this, Scott, that I think if our defense doesn't play at a very high level, doesn't play well, we're not going to win. I mean, I could say even with Derek Carr, without Derek Carr. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, like you look at standard, you should, you know, offense, you want to run 65 plays. But we had 51. They had 80. I'm looking at the Chiefs. They put it just one time and ended 9 of their 10 drives in Saints territory. I mean, I was like, whoa, it's amazing we're even in the game. Now, red zone defense is number one in the league. And, you know, they were down there, and they knock it on the door. You look at our red zone defense. They were down there 7 times and only got 2 touchdowns. So when I look at that, I mean, you know, I was still surprised we're in the game. But I was disappointed in our defense. And I'm like saying, if our defense plays like that, that doesn't bode well for the Saints going forward. We need to play like we are amongst the best in the whole NFL, the way this team is structured, I think, truly for us to win.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. This defense is has to be the strength of this team. Obviously, it's easier to play defense when your offense is playing the way they did the first 2 weeks, but still, to your point, I mean, the final score of the game probably should have been worse without Big Man's interception down in the end zone. You know, they're probably scoring a touchdown or getting another 3 points. So, you know, that game was probably a little more lopsided in the score. I think I was disappointed with how much the Chiefs' offensive line controlled the trenches. To me, the Saints' defensive line has to be or can be one of the strengths of this team. A lot of capital, draft capital, first-round picks, money put into the defensive line. I think those guys got pushed around a little bit, and I think that's what made it a long night. Chiefs just controlled the line of scrimmage all night.
And tough for the linebackers as well. I mean, so DeMario comes back. He had the hamstring. Maybe he was bothered by the hamstring in Irvine some, but he comes back. Then you lose Pete Werner, and you lose Willie Gay, who you know would have been jacked up to go against his former team. I mean, just kind of give me a sense of the impact of DeMario there, probably with the hamstring, maybe not 100%, but he's still pretty daggone solid at 98. But the impact of losing Werner and Gay last night.
Oh, it's more than you can even imagine. A lot of people think, well, you know, DeMario's out there, and when DeMario plays, he makes plays. Yeah, but if he's not 100%, and you're playing without Werner and then Willie Gay, because Willie could have stepped in for Pete, Willie could have stepped in for DeMario, you're missing a lot of experience at the linebacker position. A lot of weeks, maybe it doesn't show up as much, but I'm telling you right now, after playing against Andy Reid offenses, Andy Reid knows how to pick apart the linebacker group, and he knows what concepts to run, four-way bunch concepts. He's got all mesh concepts. He knows how to high-low linebacker. So if there's any week you want to have experience on the field at linebacker, it's going against an Andy Reid offense. And I think Andy did a really good job of taking advantage of some of the inexperience. Maybe DeMario you know, was still not 100%. But I really think that's one area of the field you have to be clicking on all cylinders, because Andy Reid's offense takes advantage of the linebacker group. If you don't have good eyes and you're not disciplined, and unfortunately for the Saints, they didn't have their experienced guys on the field.
Got to take a quick break. We'll come back with Scott Shanley, talk a little bit more about the Saints. We'll talk about Tampa Bay as well. This is a special edition of the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. We'll be back with more of the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the New Orleans Saints. Welcome back, Mike Hoss and Bobby Hebert, as well as Scott Shanley on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show, a special edition here on the Saints Radio Network. Usually we visit with Saints head coach Dennis Allen, and that's brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to the beach. But, man, it's a short week. Got back, you know, early in the morning from Kansas City, so that they get right to work. So giving him some time off, and we're happy as heck to have Scott here. And you were in Irvine. We talked in Irvine a couple of times, and man, you just we kind of talked about it in that first segment where you had, like, you know, Nick Saldivari, right? So in the first four games, he had 7 snaps. Last night he had 38. You know, Anthony Orji in the first four games had 17 snaps. Last night he had 78. Right? I mean, it's just it's a big difference. And ironically, that's not what I'm asking you, because what I wanted to ask you is the absence of Taysom Hill, right? And he, you know, is it that significant? I mean, I know it's that significant, but it just seems to be amazing what he does to the defense when he's on the field.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think sometimes you look at numbers, you can say numbers lie a little bit. Numbers don't lie. When number 7's on the field, the Saints are a better football team. They, I mean, every metric you look at, the Saints win games. The Saints win short yardage situations. They convert more third downs. Not having Taysom on the hill. I mean, I made the argument in our pregame shows the last couple of weeks that the Saints would have been 4-0. I think he would have made a difference against Philly in the short yardage situations. I think he would have made a difference in the Atlanta game. You saw what happened after he left the game, the Atlanta game. Obviously, he wasn't they gave up 14 free points in that game. But I think just the Taysom impact of lining up a running back, lining up a fullback, tight end, he lines up a slot receiver, that keeps defensive coordinators up at night. When they don't know how to classify personnel and what type of personnel they want to match because 7's on the field, it's a huge conflict for teams. So, you know, and even now with Derek out, how much quarterback could Taysom play? I think you could run a lot more Taysom package and run some RPO stuff, because NFL defenses hate that college stuff. So there's no doubt the type of football player he is and exactly what he means to the organization. You can't quantify it. I mean, it's amazing when he's not on the field, just the drop-off that happens.
Now, Scott, I don't know if you've ever been part of this, because the fans look at it. You know, it's all, a game is a momentum swings. All of a sudden, Derek Carr hits Rashid, plus 43-yard touchdown. We go 7 plays, 74 yards. Now it's 10-7. The Chiefs are winning 10-0. Now it's 10-7. So, okay, we're going out on defense. And then you look at a scenario. It was 2nd and 34. What? I was like, there's no way. There's no way they're going to get a first down. It's 2nd and 34. And then it was 3rd and 22. I don't know. They throw something. They ran a backyard play. Kelsey catches it. He pitches it back to P. Ryan. And then all of a sudden end up making Hunt win plus 2 and a 4th and 1. I said, that didn't bode well. You know, as a defense, what is it like if you're in a meeting room and the coaches, and they go, fellas, we got to get off the field. It's freaking 2nd down and 34 or 3rd and 22. Come on. You know how you say you want like 3rd and 1 or 2, yeah, and never – but come on. That right there was very discouraging, because the Chiefs go 15 plays, 64 yards. Now, they only got a field goal, but they shouldn't have gotten anything, and now it's 13-7.
Yeah, that was a huge point in the game, because you, like, 99.9% of the time you're going to get off the field in that down and distance, and it's like a cardinal sin to let an offense convert outside of a crazy penalty, you know, like roughing the pass or a pass interference. You should always win those situations. You know, the one thing I've enjoyed this year, College Game Day, Saban's on there, and on the Manning cast, Bill Belichick's on there. So if you watch the Manning cast, I was watching it the other night, and listening to him talk as the Saints were playing defense against Mahomes, and he kept going crazy. He kept saying, oh, they keep letting him step up in the pocket. Stop letting him step up in the pocket. And I was like, it's interesting listening from his perspective, one of the greatest defensive coaches of all time. And he was right. I mean, a lot of four-man rush, guys weren't staying in their gaps. They were giving passing lanes down the field for Mahomes to step up to and deliver the ball into those open zones. So it was a combination. Coverage and rush go hand in hand, and it just wasn't good enough, you know, either side in the front end or the back end. It was frustrating, because Kareem Hunt had a career night, Juju Smith-Schuster had a career night. Those are guys that, you know, they were sitting at home on the couch at one time, and you'd like to see them not take advantage of the Saints defense the way they did.
You know, and Scott, along those lines, and you're talking about on what your evaluation of their play, I think Brian Brzee still needs to get better with his run defense. I think he can be disruptive as a pass rush. He ended up with a sack. And Chase Young finally got an individual sack. He had a half a sack coming to this game. And, you know, you can have all the quarterback hurries and, you know, a tackles for a loss, I guess, a little bit more because that's a negative play for the offense. But if Chase Young wants to get paid, he has to have, hovering around double-digit sacks. So, to me, I am not encouraged yet. It seems like Dennis Allen has to dial up, whether it's Alante Taylor or some kind of scheme, to get after the quarterback and make him uncomfortable. Because when I look at with all the experience I had, you know what I used to hate? When a team was rushing four people and it felt like a blitz and they had seven in coverage. You know, but right now it seems like if we just rush in four, at times the quarterback can make a sandwich back there.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And you talk about that. And, like, just people envision, go back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the early 2000 with Derek Brooks, Warren Sapp, John Lynch, all those guys. They rushed four because they could. Warren Sapp and Simeon Rice and all those guys, they were winning battles. And now Tampa just plays cover two every play, seven in coverage, just like you're talking about. If you don't have the guys, the front four who can rush, the quarterback's going to have all day. He's eventually going to find somebody in that open zone with the seven defenders. And I'll say this, you know, when we were there, when we went our Super Bowl run and won more games in the NFL than anybody else from 09 to 11, we didn't have the best front four. We had really good players, but we brought a lot of heat. We brought five and six guys, and we dialed up a ton of pressure. And if you just make the quarterback uncomfortable and throw the ball before he wants to, you're going to win a lot of matchups. And that's what I agree with you. I think the Saints need to start dialing up more pressure and go a little feast or famine. There's a reason you draft all these DBs. You have Marshawn Lattimore, who's a top corner in the league. You draft Tulane McKinstry High. I mean, Alante is one of the best, if not the best, nickel in the league. Adebo's been a really good corner for a long time. You have all these guys who can cover. I think you need to start dialing up more pressure. And if the front four is not going to get there one-on-one, you got to bring five and six guys.
Got to take another quick break. We'll come back and we'll start turning our attention to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Scott Shanley. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. Keep it right here. We're back after this. Welcome back. It is a special edition of the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. It is our weekly visit with the Saints head coach Dennis Allen, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to the beach, and they are working on the way to Tampa Bay as we speak. Scott Shanley is joining us tonight, part of that 2009 Super Bowl team, and you talked about it earlier in the show, and boy, I agree wholeheartedly. So Tampa comes in 3-2. Saints are 2-3. You got a game Sunday, then a game Thursday, but they're both home. Your quarterback's hurt. I mean, this is gut check time because this thing could go one or two ways. You know, you're 2-3. You come out of the tunnel with a couple of wins. Who knows? But man, it's these are big games, and it's just gut check.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, this game is huge. It really is. You don't ever want to call. I mean, there are must-win games. I feel like this is teetering on that because, you know, if you walk out of this game 3-3, and the Bucs are 3-3. I mean, the other night it was hard for me. I had to root for the Atlanta Falcons to beat the Bucs so that we could have a possible three-way tie, and they pulled it off. But this is a huge game. I mean, 2-4 is a long ways from 3-3, and you might not feel that way or look that way, but it is. The next 2 weeks you're spending just to get back to 500. So huge game in the dome. I think the fans will make a huge difference in the game. I agree with Bobby. It's going to be on the defense. You know, you're without your starting quarterback. You have injuries in the offensive line. There's a lot of guys on the defensive part of the field who have signed contract extensions, been drafted high. The strength of this team is the defense. So go out there and earn that money and shut down this Bucs offense. Hopefully it's a low-scoring game, and you make some plays. Score on defense, score on special teams, and you can find a way to win.
Scott, you know what I like about the NFL? I like meritocracy. It's all based on merit. And what the hell you do? Nothing's given. Now, you might be given a chance earlier or sooner if you're number one draft pick, but you still got to keep your job and you got to earn it. And how you handle adversity. I mean, you just look at you weren't even playing 11-man football coming out of Nebraska. Look what you achieved. And look at your NFL career. So when I look at that, and then I look at, like, players, two quarterbacks. They're under the microscope, that being Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. Look where they're at right now. Did they feel sorry for themselves? how you handle adversity. Look at Baker Mayfield right now, how he's parlayed that in the contract, how he's winning the NFC South. So the challenge and the swagger. You look at Sam Darnold. The Jets are so dysfunctional, then they don't know what they're doing. Okay, they got rid of him, and then he goes to Carolina. Sam Darnold, I remember playing against the Saints. I think he was lucky to complete two or three passes. And then he goes to the 49ers. He developed. Look what he's doing with the Vikings. So, look, it's all about opportunity. So I'm telling you right now, it's going to be a challenge for the Saints defense because Baker Mayfield is playing with a lot of confidence. And you look at Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. No, it ain't going to be easy. You know, everybody was saying from a national perspective, come in the spring and the summer, oh, Kirk Cousins and the Falcons, watch out. I still thought that the team to beat was Tampa Bay. You know, until somebody beats them, they're still the NFC South champs. That's why I think it's going to be an unbelievable challenge for the team come Sunday.
Yeah, and, you know, Todd Bowles, Todd was an assistant DB coach when I was in Dallas, and I think a lot of Todd, he's a great defensive coach. He's going to bring pressure. He's going to give you a lot of different looks. And, you know, it was just a few days after the Saints lost to Philly, they smacked the heck out of the Eagles, and they're a physical group. And if you don't put your hard hat and bring a lunch pail to the game against Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Todd Bowles defense and team, you're going to get embarrassed, and you have to have that mindset. You know, back to bring it. We used to Reggie run out of the tunnel with the bat. We would have bring the wood games. This is a bring the wood game. You got to show up and have that mentality. Otherwise, you mentioned it. Baker's playing as good as football as he's played. You have Evans. You have Godwin. You have Trey Palmer on offense who can run. So you got a lot of things that you have to guard. But again, it comes down to defense. Defense, I like the matchups. Most games, I am going to like the matchups with the Saints defense. Do your part, make it a low-scoring game, and it's not illegal to score on defense. Let's get a pick six. Let's get a scoop and score and take some pressure off the young quarterback on offense.
So, Scott, you are a part of this. Explain to the fans because how you got to take care of your body. And I said, okay, we're 0-1, but we had basically three games in 10 days. And I said, a lot's going to tell in the season. Okay, you got to flush it. One snap and clear. Okay, Kansas City's over. Before you know it, Tampa Bay's here on Sunday. And then Sean Payton and the Broncos are coming on Thursday. So we're going to know a lot about where we're heading in America. So just talk about that span of like three games in 10 days. That has to be hard on your body, especially, you know, you being a linebacker and all the physicality that comes about with that.
Yeah, there's no question. It really is tough on your body. Even a Thursday night game is tough on your body because especially when you get older, you're in your sixth, seventh, eighth year in the league. By Thursday, you still haven't got recovered from the Sunday game. So a lot of times those short week games are tough. But, you know, the one thing about it is I always liked playing some games back-to-back because you got to find out a lot about your team in a short amount of time. And the one thing about it, you alluded to it, no one's going to feel sorry for you in the NFL. I mean, yeah, you were 2-0 at one time, and everybody's picking you to go to the Super Bowl, and now you're not anymore. Now you're 2-3, and everybody's telling you you're not any good. So it's up to you. I mean, you control your attitude. You control your effort. You control your body language. Let's go back out there in the dome and beat a divisional opponent, get back in this race, be 3-3, and you're in the hunt. So I think it's all about attitude and effort and just showing up with that mindset that you earn everything you get. And this season's not over. A lot of people are writing the season off because the starting quarterback's out and you're 2-3 now. So there's a lot of football to be played, and the Saints can control their own destiny.
Scott Shanley, man, we really appreciate your time. Appreciate your insight. Good to see you at Irvine, and hope to see you soon again. And thanks for coming on the show with Bobby and I tonight.
Scott, yeah, always a good time. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Scott, are you the greatest football player ever to come out of Nebraska? I would think so. I think so.
I mean, maybe greatest eight-man football player. I'll go with that, Bobby. Okay. I'm pretty safe in that statement.
All right. Okay.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, Scott.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show, Saints Radio Network. When we come back, we will talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they are going through a lot more than just a football game this Sunday. We'll talk with Roy Cummings. He's with the PewterPirates.com. That and more when we come back here on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back, and we're going to go behind the scenes now with this week's Saints assistant coach. But again, it's a special edition brought to you by Rouse's Market. Shop Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints, because the behind the scenes is going to be the next opponent, Roy Cummings, a Tampa Bay Buccaneer insider for PewterPirates.com. Roy, first off, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
I am good, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So, where are you? Are you here? Give me a sense of what this week has been like with Milton, just a beast, you know, out in the Gulf.
Yeah, I'm still in Tampa and been trying to prepare the house here for an evacuation tomorrow for us, and we'll get out of the house here, but. You know, we've prepared for this one like no other because this is like no other that we've had. So the house is boarded up. We've tried to, you know, secure every door and seal that we can think of so that there's storm surge. We can hopefully avoid a flood. And, you know, if we lose anything here at my place, it won't be for lack of effort. I can tell you that because kind of devoted the better part of the last 2 days at least to this. And, It's a full-time job preparing for a hurricane. As you guys well know, we've all been there.
We do. What about Helene? Did you guys, were there any issues there?
Well, no, ultimately, but the first time ever since I've been living in this home that I'm in South Tampa, and I've been here for 17 years now, going on 18 years, the water came right up to our doorstep, and that was all from storm surge, and you know, we're still not sure if it was actually surge or just, you know, the drains being backed up. It's just hard to know, but it was about 11 o'clock at night that I was kind of thinking, you know, prematurely that, hey, we might have made it through this okay, when all of a sudden the water started rising out in the streets. And you know, for our streets to flood, that happens on occasion with real heavy rains, and it dissipates in half an hour, you know, at the most. But this one, suddenly around 11 o'clock at night, the water started rising, and it didn't stop until 3 o'clock in the morning when it got right to the doorstep. And I went out there, and about as crudely as you can, laid a whole bunch of towels down in front of the doorstep. And when I went out there the next morning, after I saw that the water was starting to recede finally, those towels were saturated, but no water got in the house, which is pretty incredible.
You know, Roy, how does, you know, the Saints were experienced with this, dealing with hurricanes. I can remember we practiced in Dallas and played a home game in Jacksonville and whooped the Packers. So you know how the NFL is, the show must go on. So Todd Bowles out now, they're utilizing Tulane's facilities, and you consider Tampa Bay, you know, that they're really the dominant team, even though the Falcons pulled off that upset. I still think they're the team to beat in the NFC South. So how is Todd Bowles and you think the team's approaching this? Have you ever been able to talk to any of them about this or what?
Yeah, and you know what? They're taking just like, you know, the Saints would. It's a business trip. And I think part of the reason to get out of Tampa and bring the families along with you is to basically leave this, you know, concern behind, focus on the game as much as possible. That is their job. And you know, but this is a tough time for everybody. I mean, homes can be damaged, destroyed, lost. And, you know, and I think the primary thing is make sure everybody's out. And, you know, look, every NFL team has a lot of people involved that make sure that when it comes to something like this, families are taken care of as well. So that's a big part of it. And again, that's all part of the approach that for the players, at least, it's a business trip, and we've got to concentrate as much as we can on football. We'll have people, you know, the team will have people helping every team, you know, every player that's got a home in the area, you know, secure their home and get what needs to be done there so that everybody's safe. And you know, the good news is, at least at this point, again, these things can all change. It looks like it's heading a little bit south of us here in Tampa, which may spare you know, a lot of the guys and a lot of the homes here in Tampa Bay. So we'll see, but I mean, it's still too early to know for sure exactly how it's going to go. But they take it like, you know, treat it as a business trip. And for the guys, it's all about football, at least for you know, it's 2.5-3 hours on the field for practice, and the time in the meeting rooms, do everything they can to make sure that those guys can concentrate on the game.
Now, Roy, bear with me. This is like a 2 or 3 part question, and I'm looking at Tampa Bay's offense. I want your opinion. Have the fans, the Buck fans, truly embraced Baker Mayfield? And he's been rewarded with a contract. And then I want you to comment on that. And then also, it seems like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin's been playing forever. I mean, you know, you want a 1,000-yard receiver. Well, they got a couple of 1,000-yard receivers. But comment on their still their contribution at a high level. But the one area I still, and I know the Bucs tried to address it, the running back room. And then, you know, because you're not going to be unbelievable strength at every position, but just elaborate on what they're doing offensively and what I just brought up to you.
Yeah, I'll start with, you know, the first question about Baker Mayfield. You know, I think the fans, you know, have definitely taken, you know, a real liking to him. And part of that is because, you know, the players on the team have taken such a liking to him. Look, everybody's going to be happy with a quarterback who produces, and he's definitely produced here. I think there were probably, you know, I'm sure the fan base was probably split when he came here. As the, you know, half the people probably thought this was a mistake. The other half probably thought, well, why not give it a shot? Brady's gone. What are you going to do? You got to find somebody. And, you know, he fits in terms of the, you know, the salary cap and everything else, and maybe it'll all work out. And as long as he beats out, you know, the competition, which he did, and Kyle Trask, you know, that's good news. And so I think they've definitely embraced it. And again, it's hard not to when you see a quarterback like him who can, you know, do just about everything you need a quarterback to do. But then he goes out there and he's the, you know, first one throwing lead blocks. He's, you know, last week he gets into a bit of a tussle with another guy for just a, you know, a minor quick dust up, you know, for the lasted about a second and a half. But, you know, just the fact that he's going to go out there and he's not going to take anything from anybody and he's going to be a team leader, it's hard not to really appreciate that. And because the players appreciate it so much, I think the fans do as well. And you know what, in terms of his success, it helps to have Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. One, in my opinion, a sure Hall of Famer in Mike Evans. And Chris Godwin, you know, when he becomes the primary target on all downs, not just third down as he is now, you know, it helps. You know, Tom Brady was saying the other day that one of the things that he just loves about Chris Godwin is just his hands. He's got the best hands. Tom Brady said he's got the best hands of any receiver he's ever played with. And that's saying a lot. When that comes from Tom Brady, that's saying something. So that tells you about, you know, what they've got in those two receivers. And you know what? You got to give a shout out to Jason Light in that regard. Those are two receivers that Jason Light drafted, his team, his, you know, his group drafted. And they've clearly worked out at, you know, at a very, very high level for this team. And those are the kind of guys that make quarterbacks better. You know, the other thing that makes quarterbacks better, obviously, is a running game. The Bucs still kind of struggling there. And I think now more than anything, the struggles are primarily as a result of just kind of weakness up front. You know, look, Bredesen is not a let's face it, he's not an all-pro guard. They've got, you know, Luke Getteke is out at right tackle. I'm still not convinced that, you know, he's what they hope he's going to be yet. But when you've got School in there, that's, you know, that you're taking a big step backwards to begin with. So they had to, you know, figure out, they lost the game because they couldn't quite figure out what to, you know, how to work that situation to begin with. That now they're having to kind of use a tight end over there to help somebody a little bit. So that's compromising things a little bit as well. But I think that's the reason that the Bucs still aren't running the ball effectively, because I like the two running backs. My opinion is, and, you know, you guys will give me, you know, you'll give me more than I can say about it, I mean, having played it. But, you know, I think those two backs are really good. Bucky Irving, I think, has got, you know, breakaway speed and power. Rashad White is tremendous in space. It's one of the reasons they use him as a pass catcher so much. And you know, every once in a while, you know, he'll break off a run as well if they can wear down the offensive line, the defensive line. The problem is, I don't think the Bucs are confident enough in their running attack, probably because of the offensive line, to really lean on it so much that you get to the point where the defensive line is worn down. So it's still a bit of a work in progress in terms of the running game.
Well, Roy, we just had the our 7 o'clock update. It's your 8 o'clock update. And unfortunately, Milton is a 5, my friend. So you guys go do what you need to do. Take care. It ain't about football for the next couple of days. And be safe. And we'll talk to you very soon.
We'll do it, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. That's Roy Cummings, PeterPirates.com, one of the Buccaneers insiders for 20-plus years. So, good gosh, Milton is a Cat 5. Bobby, we thank you for your time, as always, my friend. Take a little – go get some water. Take a break, and we'll talk to Mike for a little bit.
I'll go on a bathroom break, all right?
There you go. All right.
Okay.
We'll come back, talk to Mike Dettelier. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network. Stay with us. And now we get to have a Bud Light with Mike Dettelier. Drink Bud Light, the official beer of the Saints, and – we're going to continue talking about next week's opponent, brought to you by John Fayard, Moving and Warehousing, First in Service, as we bring in Mike Dettelier from the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. And we talked a lot about Tampa Bay, different positions with Baker and Godwin and Evans. And we didn't talk about Cade Otton, the tight end. 17 receptions. He's one of those guys that, you know, maybe we wouldn't have talked about him as much in previous years, but this season, you want to know where Cade Otton is.
Yeah, because of the fact the Saints have had some real difficult. I was telling Bob, you know, the craziest thing is we saw with what Goddard did. Then you go to Kyle Pitts. He can catch anything against the Saints. And this week, we saw him, you know, just kind of haul him out. One tight end after another. Played four tight ends in that game against the Saints. And Travis, you know, he is who he is at this stage of the game, so to speak. He knows how to move the chains, and he's a good pain in the butt. Because you think you're off the field with him, and then all of a sudden, you know, first down. So it was what Jim Harbaugh heard him say. On 3rd and 6, he gets you 7. And it's the worst feeling in the world is that it's not this big chunk play that we're talking about, but it's this play in which keeps you on the field forever, and you're absolutely right. We're going to know a lot about Cade Otton, because if I'm them, you know, if I'm the Bucs, I watch that film, I'm going to go right after that and prove it to me you can actually cover it.
And the Buccaneers, at least with Baker, they have been somewhat streaky. Right? I mean, they lost 6 of 7 in the middle of the season last year. They come back, win 5 of their last 6. But this year, Baker, 11 touchdowns, just 2 interceptions. He's had 3 games, this is kind of ironic, where his completion percentage was 80%, 76%, and 79%. And unbelievably, he lost 2 of those 3 games. But when he's throwing 11 touchdowns and not giving it up very much, he can be tough. And he's their 3rd leading rusher.
He is one tough dude out on the field. Now, I think in the past, Mike, he was a guy that thinks he could put a ball anywhere, sort of like Uncle Rico, you know. I can put that ball over the top of that mountain. I think he always kind of had that mentality, but he's become a much more disciplined player to get the football in the right spots and learning sometimes the incomplete pass is the best option for you. You can't make up a play. And I think that's the growth you see in him. I thought Dave Canales did a fantastic job gaining his confidence back in Baker. And, you know, Dave kind of turned it into the head coaching spot with the Panthers, but he's been able to continue this. The thing that's so impressive with Tampa is that 3 years ago, they were one of the oldest teams in the NFL. And in a very soft rebuild, now they're one of the youngest teams. Look at that roster. I mean, Lavonte David kind of skews things a little bit on defense, but all these guys are in first, second, third year of the contracts. They have drafted so well, and they've hit on like 80% of their draft choices the last 3 years.
And it'll be quite, you know, it's hard to really talk about the Saints offense against Tampa's defense right now because there's just so much unknown. So we're kind of sticking with the Tampa offense because we know a lot about it, just like Bobby said. And you know who else skews their age older is the wide receivers. So you got Sterling Shepard, his ninth year. He's got a touchdown. Jalen McMillan's a rookie, but he's got a touchdown. Godwin's got three touchdowns in his eighth year. Mike Evans has five touchdowns in his 11th year. And then, oh, yeah, don't forget Trey Palmer, the Kentwood Kangaroo. He's got a touchdown. So you talk about DBs are facing a wide receiver crew with 6, 9, 11 touchdowns.
That's impressive. And how he has been kind of on the same page as his receivers, and he feeds them. And they work hard for him. I know that was something Mike Evans spoke about in the offseason about, hey, we know if we get open, he's going to get us the ball. And so we really working hard for him, so to speak, because we got confidence he's going to make that play. They've had some problems along the offensive line, got a lot of new guys there. But, man, they did a nice job against the Falcons protecting Baker, giving him time to throw the football. They ran the football really well. Bucky Irving's fumble late, that wasn't good. But they got it right back in a crazy game. You know, Kirk Cousins, man, he showed why they paid him a lot of money.
509 yards. Hey, did you see Charlie sent it to me, Nick Underhill reporting that Sean Payton – signed A.T. Perry to the practice squad?
Yeah, so I showed that to Bob. That's the ultimate Sean troll. Okay, I'm going to go after a guy the Saints cut loose. And basically, A.T. Perry was picked with the draft choice that they got for Adam Trautman.
Right.
Exactly. So it was one of those deals. Man, the one thing with Sean, he throws every trick in the book to get what he can. A.T. Perry got talent, okay? I'm not going to take that away from him. His motor sometimes is not the hottest. And that's something you go to Sean, you're going to hear an earful if you don't give him what you got. A.T. Perry is, and we saw it, Mike, late last year, he made a bunch of big plays for him, and he's a big, tall receiver. But at times, almost as though his concentration level, his focus is not there. Man, if you could piece that together, you got something there, but that's always been the negative in why he lasted as long as he did on draft day. That came from the Wake Forest coaches, that he wasn't the most focused guy out in the world. And so Sean's going to give a shot with it. And Woody had little Jordan Humphrey.
Yeah.
I mean, so he's like a collection of former Saints receivers and tight ends.
And finally, we don't know the Taysom Hill situation. We don't know the quarterback situation. But from a running back situation, man, Alvin just getting pounded. Like, that position has to be able to produce, especially with whoever's at quarterback, and hopefully you get Taysom back. But that was the difference in weeks 1 and 2. You were doing pretty well on first down running the football, and you've not since.
I agree. It goes to show what big part of the offense Taysom is for this football team. Also shows, too, Mike, when you spend a third-round pick on a running back and he gets hurt the first day of training camp. And, okay, practice last week. They were counting on Kendra Miller. Now, Bob and I talked about this before. We didn't think he'd play in the first week, but he's got to be up against the Bucs. You cannot keep grinding Alvin Kamara down. And he's not going to hold up for 17 games. You keep giving him the football and throwing him the ball coming out the backfield. Kendra Miller, now in the absence of Taysom Hill, has got to be able to step up because you can see they don't really trust Jamal Williams. Either that or he'd be carrying the football, 9, 10, 11 times. Now, yesterday he only rushed it, 15 total? So Kendra Miller's got to step up his play and got to show some dedication and focus on his game.
Thank you, my friend. Mike Dettillier and Bobby Hebert. Thanks to Charlie Long in the booth. Thanks for listening to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network. Visit Pensacola, the way to the beach.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.